Welcome to the New Life Sermon of the Week. This podcast is part of the ministry of New Life Church in Frederick, Maryland. For more information on the ministries of our church, please visit our website at inewlife.church. We hope you enjoy today's message brought by our lead pastor, Abe Pfeiffer.
We are continuing our series, What Matters Most. Last week we started this series and I told you a little bit about just the heart of the series even being a Make a Difference series. That as a church we talk about if you're going to grow and if you're going to become a Christ follower who is fruitful and experiences all that God has for you, there's four primary visions and steps that we have for you that really are kind of an ongoing thing that we've got to be considering, that you got to know God, you got to you find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. And so again, everything is moving towards that in our journey with God. That whether you right now, maybe some are in this room and you still are in the process of seeking, maybe you haven't fully decided to follow Jesus, our hope is that you will make that decision to know God and experience Him in relationship. But even for you right now, the goal of your life, God's plan and goal for you is that you would discover that you do indeed have a purpose, whether you, again, are pre-Christian or whether you've known Jesus for over 50 years, that you continually recognize your purpose and ultimately live it out in a way that you could make a difference in this world. And so last week we talked about this realm of being blessed, and the main point of what we talked about was that the goal of the gift, whatever gift that God has given you, the goal of the gift is giving, and that we are blessed to be a blessing. And if you're going to make a difference in this world, it's important that you recognize that whatever gift you have, whatever resource, whatever ability you have, it's meant to be a blessing. And so we talked about that last week and recognizing that that matters so very much, how you steward blessing in your life. This week, I had a direction that I was going to be going, and just a couple days ago, God kind of turned the corner for me. And so today, I want to talk about this thing, as you can see on the screen, called honor. And I believe when it comes to things that matter most, not only, yes, stewarding blessing is vital, but second of all, if you're going to make a difference in this world, you can't ignore the realm of honor in your life. And there's this passage in the book of Malachi in the Old Testament. He's a prophet, and he's speaking to God's people. In fact, he's delivering a message from God to the people, and he utters these words, says, "Where is the honor?" God says to his people, he says, "Where is the honor that's due to me?" And what he was doing, what he was talking about, was the fact that the priests in the Old Testament in those days had this duty, this commitment, this calling to represent God to the people and really go before God on behalf of the people as well. And yet the priests in those days were neglecting the realm of honor in their life. And God asked this question, where is the honor? And I believe that that's a vital question for us to ask today, even in our current generation. Where is the honor? While we don't have Old Testament priests in these days, the New Testament tells us that we are a royal priesthood, that each and every one of us are priests, that we have this privilege and this opportunity to represent God in this world and to go before God ourselves. And so in that, we in the same way have a call to this realm of honor and to making sure that as we do whatever it is that God's given us to do, that we are indeed living with honor. And so this morning I want to study this realm of honor because we live in a culture where it's cool to criticize. We live in a culture where it's acceptable to tear down and to have this negative critical spirit. And we often in our culture tear things or tear people down in such a way that we try to bring them down to this equal footing. And while I'm not saying, yes, all men are created equal, yes, that's true. However, there are places and even roles in our world that are deserving of honor, and we can't afford to miss that. And so next week, I'm going to talk a little bit about those specific areas. I'm going to do a little more teaching practically on what that looks like in our world and even in the church. But today, I want to just talk a little bit about the heart of honor. And so today's message, my goal is to challenge us a little bit. In fact, I'm going to be a little honest with you. I'm going to be a lot honest with you. It's going to get a little uncomfortable in here at times this morning. And it's because in order to deal with this issue of honor, we've got to go to the heart. And whenever you go to the heart, it's close to home, right? And so I believe that at a certain level, if I could say it this way, I kind of want to help us get back to a little bit of the old school. I want us to look at our lives, and I want to look at how we live and even pay attention to some things that we maybe have forgotten, or maybe we've lost sight of, or maybe we've never even learned in some cases. But I want to get back to the some foundational things. And for instance, I hope that if you, especially if you're a gentleman in this room, that you open the door for ladies. And if you don't, my hope is that you will do that more often after hearing this message today. You will be restored to this place where you see opportunities to even do something as simple as open the door. And by the way, they may get a little bit uncomfortable. They may go, well, you don't have to do that for me. In fact, I had that happen not too long ago. I was at the mall, and I got to the door, and I noticed a few people not too far behind me, and a couple of them were ladies, and so I just opened the door, and I stood there, and one of them walked through. The other one didn't want to walk through the door that I was holding open, so she went over to this other door, but the other door was locked. And so then it got really awkward because I'm standing there holding the door open, and so she kind of comes over and she's like, you didn't have to do that. And I'm like, well, yes, I did. We live kind of in the South, and so I've got to have good manners, you know. And she's like, oh, okay. You know, I could tell deep inside, you know, I told her, I just want to honor you. And so she walked in, and I think she, deep inside, even though she tried to not show that she liked it, I think she appreciated just being honored in that way. But again, I want us to think this morning about our lives and what would it look like? What would it look like for us to be restored to a place of honor? What would it look like in our families? What would it look like as husbands to begin honoring our wives in a whole new way? What it would look like as wives to honor husbands in a whole new way? What it would look like for as parents to honor our children in a certain way? What it would look like for our children to be restored to a place of honoring parents in a whole new way? What if we were to even get back to honoring government officials in a whole new way? What would it look like to restore a place of honor when it comes to our flag as a nation? I believe there's so many implications of this that I want to encourage us to make sure we're not ignoring, that we get back to the heart of honor. And so in Malachi chapter 2 is where I want to begin this morning. If you have a Bible, you can turn over there. It's in the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 2, right towards the end there. And again, as I mentioned a moment ago, this is right after he's asked the question. He's brought this message from God saying, where is the honor? And so now God continues in this vein to speak to his people. And in verse 1, says this, says, and now, you priests, this warning is for you. If you do not listen, and if you do not resolve to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty, I will send a curse on you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I've already cursed them because you have not resolved to honor me. So this is this admonition of God with honor, saying, you have not resolved to show honor. Now this phrase, resolve to honor, has to do with setting your heart to show honor. It has to do with this heart commitment that it's not something of a duty and, oh, I have to do this, but rather it's from the heart. So this word, what it really means in this Hebrew language is even that it would be the love of your heart that to show honor. And so when it comes to the things that shape our behavior, there's two words that are used to describe what shapes our behavior. The first one is obedience, and the second word is submission. Now the word obedience is this picture of doing something regardless of how you feel about it. So as a parent, you say to your child, go take the trash out, and I don't want to, but I will, right? You're going to do it, right? Because you're going to obey me. Right? Obedience is you do it regardless of the feeling. But submission, what submission means and what submission has to do with is that it would become the delight of your heart to do so. That I would be delighted to take the trash out, right? And so it's your delight, the delight of your heart to show honor to those who defend your freedom, as we did this morning. And so can I tell you, God doesn't want just merely your behavior modification. He wants your heart. In fact, John Bevere, who wrote a book called Honor's Reward, looks like there's one more copy back there. Some people took some from the first service, but he wrote this book a number of years ago, and it was, for me, this journey of honor began around 10 years ago, where the Lord began to show me personally where I had really neglected the realm of honor, and there were some things in my heart that God wanted to show me, and that book was one that was really pivotal in opening my eyes to some things. And as I was getting ready the other day, I happened to notice that a long time ago, someone here at the church bought those books, and so I put them over there and said in the first service, whoever wants them can take them. There's one left, so you can race over there now if you want to get it. But John Bevere, when he wrote this book called Honor's Reward, he says in there, honor isn't just about obeying God. It's about catching his heart. Honor isn't just about obeying God. It's about catching his heart. God wants us to resolve to honor. And so he's saying to his people here in Malachi, you have not committed and you haven't resolved in your heart, you haven't set your heart to show honor. And so he said, therefore, you're going to experience some curse. Now, you hear that word curse and you're going, oh my goodness, what's this? You know, it's toil, you know, I mean, picture the witch and seven dwarves, you know, mixing a pot, you know, is that what we're talking about with curses? No. In fact, God's not saying he's going to punish. What he's saying is when you don't resolve to honor, you've already brought the curse upon yourself. Because see, we live under the curse of sin. God's goal from the beginning, when we entered into sin, his goal has been to break the curse of sin and all of its ugliness over our lives. And so when we don't show honor, we stay in or enter into the curse of sin. And so he's saying, I don't want that for you. And so let's talk then. What does it mean? If you haven't thought about it, what does it mean to honor? Let me give you a little definition of it this morning. That the word honor, when you look at this definition, first of all, means to add value to. So when you honor something, you're adding value to it. It literally had to do with, in the original language, the stacking up of coins and putting, you know, distributing it of coins. You're adding value to something when you honor it. So it means to add value to, or another part of the definition has to do with being weighty, something that is weighty. And so when you add value and when you show that something has this weight, it's honor. And so when you're recognizing something's weight, picture it this way. Let's picture that you're driving down the road one day and there's a boulder in the middle of the road. There's a boulder in the middle of the road and you stop and you get out and you do something with it. Why? Because it's big and it has weight. And if you don't get out and address it, what's going to happen? You're going to get smashed up. So when you acknowledge that something is weighty and it has weight, it's this honor for what it is. And so if honor has to do with something that is weighty and acknowledging its value in that way, then dishonor is to take something lightly, right? If honor is weighty, then dishonor has to do with taking something lightly, not acknowledging the weight that it has. It's to treat something as common that God otherwise has said, no, show this some honor. One area that I think most of us probably have experienced something along these lines would be around the poor and the rich. That there can be this tendency in our human nature to see the poor and, you know, not show them the honor, as opposed to someone who is rich and who has prestige. And so, you know, someone again who's poor, you may go, oh, you know, whatever, you know, if I have time to help you, I will. And yet someone who has wealth or prestige, you, oh my goodness, I'll go out of my way to make time for you, right? In Proverbs 14:31, God says to his people, he says, you have shown contempt. In other words, what that word there, contempt, means is you have removed weight from. So he said, you've shown contempt to the poor and dishonored their maker. You've dishonored me by not showing them value, is what God's saying in Proverbs 14:31. And so he said, when you do that, you remove blessing from yourself. When you show dishonor to the poor, you actually remove the blessings that I had otherwise intended to give you. Why? Because the way we treat the poor and the needy matters, because it matters because of the heart of God. It matters because he sees them, he sees everybody as valuable, and he sees the poor as valuable. And over again in his word, he calls us to this responsibility and to this heart to minister in that way. And so I remember a number of years ago, when I was pastoring in Oregon, we started this ministry, and I talked about it a little bit yesterday at our men's conference, called the Food Pantry. And it was just out of this heart to care for the poor in our community. And we had this vision to not have it be just this kind of dishonoring process where people are just kind of throw a few nasty food items in a plastic bag and you just kind of hand it off in the back alley somewhere to somebody. Like, we wanted it to be this process where people are, honor and dignity are restored in their lives. And so we committed this entire building to being a place where people would not just be given food, but they would be treated with dignity and honor. And so we began to do this, and within a couple of years, we were feeding over 3,000 people on a regular basis every week. And so much so that we became the number one feeding agency in the county. In fact, the county would send people to our facility to train people. And towards the end of my time in Oregon, they actually invited me to this banquet, and they honored us there for what we were doing to restore honor and dignity into the lives of so many people in our community and our neighborhood. And for us, it was just out of this heart to say, we want to be a blessing. And we want to restore dignity in their lives because we know they matter. People matter to Jesus. And I got to tell you, one thing that as I look back, I remember the time that we started that ministry. It was right when we were still in the middle of the recession at that time. And finances were short. I mean, it was tight. And we had to make this decision, even to make some sacrifices and to step out in faith. And yet we saw, as I look back and over our financial records through that time, I saw a direct relationship to when we started to show honor to the poor in our community, we saw the favor of God over our church in amazing ways. And so when we honor people, it pleases God. And again, dishonor has to do with this way of thinking where we treat people as common, where when we dishonor, we just kind of diminish their value. Let me give you a practical day-to-day way that we do that sometimes. I told you, this may sting a little bit, but let's take phones, for instance. When you're hanging out or when you're in a meeting with someone, how present are you with them? Or are you constantly looking down, oh, I got to catch this, and are you interrupting, and or are you valuing the time of the person that you're with? And so often, I think that so often we diminish the value of others, even in our lack of presence, whether it's with phones or whether it's with other technology. And I think it's important that we pay attention to that. I mean, think about this. If you were in a meeting with Bill Gates, would you be texting? Would you be getting up and interrupting? Or would you be going, I have a meeting with a multi-billionaire. I want to give him my undivided attention, right? You would give him honor. Why? Because you see him through a different lens. And yet, I think so often we tolerate dishonor in our own lives because we forget to see people as God does. And I was reminded of a time, and I said this in the last service, that I'm telling a couple stories that make it sound like I'm really great. I'm really not. But this one is another one of those stories that is this time where the governor of Oregon came to an event we were having at the church. And so he was going to meet me in my office prior to this event. And I remember that morning, I got up extra early. My clothes were extra ironed. I got there an hour early. I was rehearsing through every word I was going to say. And then he was going to sit in the event and listen as I spoke. And so I was giving attention to everything, and I got there early. But then the next day, I had a meeting with someone, and I showed up late. And I remember thinking, so I can be an hour early for the governor, but not for them? How is that honoring? What if I was to treat everybody like they were the governor? And so we've got to pay attention to these things because, again, it's at the heart of God. And so in Mark 6, this is what it says in Mark 6, verse 1. There's this scene that I think teaches us a lot about what causes dishonor. And so it says this, it says, Jesus left there and he went to his hometown accompanied by his disciples. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that has been given to him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And it says they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives and his own home. And so he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. So they took Jesus, who should have been elevated to a higher place, and they were lowering him down. And it says they took offense at him. And Jesus said, only in his hometown, only in the place where you would treat something as common, that's where dishonor occurs. Something that should be elevated, you're treating them and treating them as common. And so the Bible says that because they did that, because they took offense, because they dishonored him, he could not do any miracles there. Isn't it interesting that God was limited based on the attitudes of the recipients in front of him? He wanted to bless them. He wanted to do more miracles there, but he was limited based on their lack of honor. And it causes you to ask this question. What if their attitude had been different? What miracles would Jesus have done that day if they had honored him? What stories would have been told? So I want to point out two things that cause dishonor real quick that we learned from this passage. The first thing that causes dishonor is familiarity. That anything that you're close to, anything that you think you are equal to or you become accustomed to has this ability to then receive dishonor from you. And so the root word of familiarity is what? Family. So it goes to show that family is probably the place where you have the greatest opportunity to show dishonor. Because you're the most familiar with them, right? And so we've got to, as husbands, be conscious about how are we showing our wives honor. Wives, we need to be conscious about how are we showing our husband. With our kids, how are we showing our kids honor? Around our house, it's even little things like if the kids are yelling at their mom or if Stacy's saying, hey, I want to ask you to do something. When she calls them and I hear them, what, mom? Sometimes I'll say, come down here. And look at her and listen to what she's trying to say. It's not because I'm a control freak. It's because I want them to honor the voice of their mother. I believe it's important that, and it's hard to really catch the heart of when someone's sharing with you if you're across the house or across the hallway, right? And so familiarity can cause dishonor. And I'll tell you what, when my kids show their mom honor, guess what? They are on the father's side of blessing. Because if they don't, I'll curse them. But here's my prayer for us. Here's my prayer for you. That as we recognize some of these simple realms of dishonor, my prayer is that we will see a revival of honor among us. That we will see a revival of honor. That we will see a revival even in how we treat the poor, how we relate to other churches, how we honor our spouse, or how we honor our parents and our kids. And I believe this, that as we see a revival of honor, that we will see many, many more miracles in our lives and in this place. But it starts with honor. Familiarity causes dishonor, but the second thing is that offenses cause dishonor. You can never honor that which offends you. It's plain and simple. You can never honor that which offends you. And so if you're offended by the government, you're going to struggle to honor your governing officials. If you treat something or someone in a different place than God calls us to, you put yourself at odds with the heart of God. Romans 13:1, Paul says this. He says, everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God. How much authority comes from God? All. How much authority comes from God? All. And he says, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. I want you to notice there, if you were to look up Romans 13:1, I don't think I put it on the screen, but there's no asterisk there. There's no asterisk that said, honor all those in authority unless they're jerks. If they don't believe the same as you, then you don't have to honor them. Don't worry about that. But no. Honor is giving this level of respect. And by the way, you can disagree and still be respectful, right? And that's what the heart of honor does, that we don't treat lightly, that we show honor. And so how do we start to see this in our lives? I want to just give you three simple things here before we're done. The first is this: recognize that honoring begins when I value others as God does. Honoring begins when I value others as God does. How does God view people? He sees people as valuable. He sees each one as a creation that he loves. I got to tell you, I've been on this journey with honor for about 10 years. I generally do pretty good honoring people. But then I get in my car. And I'll be driving down the road. In fact, I had an instance not too long ago, a few months back, where I'm driving along and all of a sudden someone does something and I go, oh, you jerk. And then the Lord whispered to my heart, that's my jerk. That's my jerk. I love them. I love that person. That's not just a car, that's a person. That's my child. And so what so often happens is that we make it about what we think people deserve. But when we move it from what we think they deserve to who designed them, that's when true honor can begin. And that's what Ephesians 5 says. It says, submit to one another in love out of reverence for Christ. That we come to this place where we treat people with honor, not based on my view of who they are, but his view of who they are. And so we as a church, that's why for me, that's why outreach is such a pivotal part of what we do. It's why we have outreach going on a pretty regular basis, whether it's food for kids, whether it's doing outreach with our local elementary school, whether it's doing laundry love, our serve days that we do. We want to continually have opportunities in front of us, because I know this, that when we get in a place where we see people that are maybe broken, maybe going through a difficult time, maybe they're in poverty, that there's something about restoring and showing this love and seeing people that are in a different place maybe than you are, that when you look at them and say, God, give me your heart for them, help me to see you as they see them as you do, that it produces honor in our lives, and it brings our heart to this place where we have his heart. In fact, I loved watching it not too long ago when we did Serve Day, and we were at a couple different sites, and I watched as we got to go to one home of a lady who lived alone. She was a little bit older, and I loved watching just her countenance change even throughout the day as we were doing work in her yard and we were hauling some junk away for her, and just watching her feel so valued. It was like you could see a transformation in her. That's what honor does. So honor begins when I value others as God does. But here's the second thing. Honoring others benefits me. And I hesitate to tell you that. And I don't tell you those things very often, because I don't want you to get this sense that it's somehow this formula kind of thing. But I want you to understand that it's a kingdom principle. That when you honor others, it does something. It benefits you. It welcomes God to work in your life and even to bless you and even entrust you with opportunities that maybe he wouldn't otherwise be able to because you've taken seriously this place of honor in your life. And I remember this contrast I saw one week when, even when it comes to the church environment, I had gone to a conference, and I watched at this conference as this guy got up to speak, and there were a lot of established speakers there, a lot of pastors who were very experienced and knew a lot of stuff. And this guy got up there who was actually fairly young, and he got up there, and he started out by just saying, "God is good." And everyone was, "Amen," and they're all amen. And the whole session, it was just like people couldn't take notes fast enough. And it wasn't saying anything profound, but they were engaged. They were honoring the voice. It was like, I want to receive whatever you have to give. And then later that week, I went to this chapel of a Christian college that had a lot of ministry training going on there. And I was speaking with the dean beforehand, and we were actually going, a student in our church who was an intern of ours was speaking in the chapel that day. And so we were there to listen to her, and it was fun. But I got to kind of sit back and just observe. I didn't have to do anything. And I observed it in this chapel as all these students were, first of all, just kind of not even, you know, worship was going on, and they were just kind of doing their own thing. And then when the time for the message came, it got even worse. They were pulling out textbooks, they're doing homework, they're on their phones, and the word of God is being preached, and they're just, and so I've been talking to this dean beforehand, and he was telling me, "Yeah, we're having a lot of behavior problems, and things are just, we're really having a lot of discipline issues," and I was like, "I can tell you why. There's no honor in this place. They don't honor the word of God. They're not coming with hungry hearts to learn, and so it's only going to play itself out in every other dimension." Honoring others, it benefits you and I. And here's the thing, the level of honor that you give determines what you receive. The level of honor that you give determines what you receive. And I remember when this hit home for me a number of years ago, I was a youth pastor in training. I had just come on staff, and I was, in fact, I was interning at the time, and I was at a larger church in Oregon, and we were getting ready one weekend for this speaker who was going to be there, and he was this missionary who had been there before, and I was telling my youth pastor, just kind of in passing, who he was my overseer and everything, and I was telling him, "Oh my gosh, this guy's boring. I wish I did not have to go to this, but I'm on staff. I have to go listen to this guy," and he just kind of got real serious, and he said, "Come here," and he sat down with me for a second, and he said, "I want you to know who this man is and what he has done for the kingdom of God. I want you to know the sacrifices that he has paid." And he just began to list off all these things. And he said, he said, "Here's the thing. If that's your heart, if that's the way that you're approaching him, I can guarantee you're not going to be much use of God for God. If you've already decided you can't receive someone from someone just simply because you think they're boring, then you're going to miss a whole lot that God has for you." And it really hit me upside the head because I recognized that my attitude determines what I will receive. My attitude determines what I will receive, whether it's from a message, whether it's even from people in my life that I encounter. I can learn anything from anybody. I can even learn from someone who is, not my favorite person. I can even learn from them what not to do. But I can do it with a heart of honor that's not judgmental, but it's still saying, "God, I want to honor them and not come from this place of pride or arrogance, but rather I want to be open-hearted with everybody I'm around." The more you value it, the more you value from it. Ephesians 6 says this, Paul says, "Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." Paul is validating this Old Testament commandment, but it's this timeless kingdom principle. And he's saying, you want to hold on to this. Some people might say, "Well, aren't we free from the Old Testament?" No, this is from the Old Testament law. No, we this is a timeless principle we can't afford to miss here. And really at the heart of this, I want us to understand something, and this is the third point, is that honor is given, not gained. Honor is given, not gained. So, in other words, you don't give it based on who you think deserves it. You simply got to make a decision to honor, period, whether you think they deserve it or not. You honor based on God's call to do it. Just like he calls people throughout the generations to honor their father and mother, to honor those in authority. You may not feel like it, but I can tell you this, that when you do, God will honor you. God will honor you, and it'll be a favor that you welcome in your life as you honor others. Peter says this, and this will be the last scripture. I know I've given you a lot today, but next week I'm going to make it a little more practical. We'll unpack some things together. It'll be fun. But 2 Peter 2, verse 13, he says, "Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praises of those who do good." He said, "For this is the will of God." Whenever the Bible says this is the will of God, you should underline it and pay attention. People go, "What's the will of God? What's the will of God for my life?" Well, the Bible said it on a few occasions, and so whenever it says that, you should pay attention. "This is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." In other words, use your freedom not merely for your own enjoyment, but use the freedom and the liberty you have to honor others and recognize that when you do, there may be people in this world that criticize and persecute you. And I hear a lot of Christians going, "Oh, it's so hard to be a Christian in this generation." But guess what? When you will be someone that raises up a lifestyle that says, "I'm going to honor those who are in authority, whether it's at my job, whether it's in my home, whether it's our government officials, I'm going to be someone that even as the way I treat the poor and those in our community," I can tell you this, that as the Bible says, that when you do that, it will silence those who would be there to try to mock you. They'll have nothing to say because there's something about a life of honor that just has this powerful effect, and it glorifies God. People see him through the life of honor. And so here's what I want to do this morning. I want to take a moment or two here now to kind of just soak in what I've just talked about. Everyone doing okay? Everyone say, "Pastor Abe loves me." Yeah, I love you. And Jesus does too. I hope that you walk out of here not feeling, "Oh man, I can't talk on my cell phone in front of anyone ever again, or else I'm going to get slapped upside the head by Pastor Abe." No, that's not what we live under. But I hope that you'll, even this morning, sense a stirring of opportunity. Because here's the thing, on the other side of this is blessing. On the other side of this is the favor of God. On the other side of this is breakthrough in areas that maybe you've been hung up in for years, maybe even for decades, maybe even for generations of your family, that there's been something holding you back. And I wonder how much of that is related to the realm of dishonor. But if we can allow the Holy Spirit to open our eyes and to change us from the inside out, that maybe we could even surrender some things and maybe even forgive some things, maybe release some offenses, maybe it comes to even trusting God in some areas with people that we've tried to control in our own strength, and we would say, "But God, today I trust you. I'm going to allow honor to be something that you stir and you build in my life." And so I want you to set your Bibles aside, and I want you to close your eyes with me. And you know, whenever we do this, it's not because I like to like do something once your eyes are closed. I'm doing something tricky up here. It's because when we close our eyes, it's because I want to honor the moment. I want to honor the moment because in these times, holy things are happening. Oftentimes in these moments, eternity is changing for someone. Right now, someone's eternity will be different now than it was 10 minutes ago. These are holy moments, and I want to invite you again to close your eyes so that we can honor this moment. And I want to begin by asking you to just ponder this question for a moment. I want you to, in fact, ask yourself this question. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? What do I need to embrace today from your word, by your voice in my life? This isn't about my opinions. I hope that today you hear the heart of God inviting you into a greater and more rich and more joyous existence as you live for him, that will allow you to make a difference in ways you never imagined simply because you allow him to lead you into a deeper and greater way of honor. And so what is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? Where do you need to release an offense? Where do you maybe need to show someone honor? Maybe for some this morning, God's asking you to change certain words in your vocabulary. that you will not use these words when you talk about certain people. Maybe there's certain things in your lifestyle that need to change. I remember when I was walking through this journey a number of years ago, the Lord spoke very clearly to me. He said, "You're not allowed to watch David Letterman anymore." And it was because I would watch that late show talk guy and his sarcasm and the things that would go on there, it would feed something in me, and it would feed really this attitude of dishonor. And the Lord said, "That's not my best for you." So I had to change that. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? I hope today that you'll write that down or that you'll share that with somebody. Be active to submit to Him in His Lordship in your life and let Him lead you into, again, this greater way. Here's the second thing I want to do this morning, though, is I want to give a simple invitation. Today, maybe you might be here and you'd be hearing these things and you'd say, "This is wonderful, this is great, but I know that I've been far from God. And I want to come to Him today. I want to come back to Him. I need Him in my life. I've been far from Him, and some of the things that I've been going through, some of the things that I've been doing, even my lifestyle, I want God to be the one leading my life from this day forward. I want to turn away from the old ways, and I want to begin a new way. I want relationship with Jesus. I want to welcome the gift of salvation. I want to receive His forgiveness and the work that He did on the cross. I want to say yes to all of that right now." And if that's you, I'm going to invite you to simply lift up your hand. If you're saying, "Pastor, that's me, would you pray for me?" Would you just lift your hand right now? Yeah. Anyone else would say, "Pastor, would you pray? I want to say yes to that. I want to have a relationship with Jesus. I need Him leading the way in my life." Anyone else would say, "Pastor, that's me. Would you pray for me?" Amen. Amen. Lord, you see these hands before you. Lord, I pray that you would meet them in this place, that you would lead them into a deep relationship with you, that where they've been struggling with the guilt of sin and the weight of all of that, I pray that you would set them free, that you would make them new from the inside out. Lord, I pray that you would lead them in your ways of honor. I pray that you would do that for each of us today. Lord, as each of us hear your Holy Spirit whispering to us about something in our lives that maybe you'd want us to surrender to you, God, we just pray that you would give us that strength today to trust you, to trust your love, and to allow you to cultivate something in us that would, again, help us make a difference. That people would know your love, and even more, they would know that how valuable they are to you. And so we just thank you so much, God, for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we just give God praise this morning? Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you would like to share your prayer needs or how this message impacted your life, please go to the Resources tab on our website, inewlife.church. There you can also find out more about the exciting things going on at New Life.